Jesus often did. He would say, "You've heard it said, you shall not kill. But I say to you, anyone who's angry with his brother has already committed murder in his heart." You see, Jesus' teaching and authority would go deeper and would go harder and faster into the hearts of men and women. And oftentimes they would walk away perplexed and confused. But as their hearts began to swell and their souls began to churn, as God called them to himself, they would turn from their ways and follow Jesus. You see, this demon in verse 24, he understands who Jesus is. He understands that the moment that he sees Jesus, he's going to be confronted with his life. He's going to be confronted with taking control of this man. And I believe that demons are aware of what God does in this world. They're aware of where God is working, and they're trying to thwart his plan. They're taking control of certain people like this man and ruining their lives, maybe making them blind to the truth. They watch and they observe and they study us. They dissect our lives. They are crafty beings directed and coordinated by Satan himself. But Jesus likely did not want to be primarily known as a wonder worker, or as a political or military deliverer, because such a reputation would have compromised his main mission of redemption. And how often do we get distracted off the main mission? You see, Jesus sought to relieve this man of his demons and sought to serve this man. And in so doing, he also served the crowd by causing them to ask questions, causing them to dig a little deeper into their own lives and see, what is it that God has for me? How is Jesus teaching in the synagogues and him delivering this man from this demon? Sometimes it's painful. As for this man, it threw him on the ground. And the spirit cried out. But eventually the spirit came out of him. Now, I don't think that every sin in our life is a demon. Please don't make that connection this morning. But I do think there are little things in our lives that we could get rid of, and it may be a little bit painful to get rid of them. You see, this phrase, "Son of Man," occurs over and over and over again in the Gospel of Mark. And we're not going to hit every one of those passages this morning because there are a lot of them. But if you want a challenge this week to read the Gospel of Mark and to see, maybe count how many times the phrase "immediately" or "Son of Man" or "Son of God" is used, that would be a great exercise in your faith. But let me just give you a little tidbit of Christmas Eve night for us this morning. As you think about the term or the title, "Son of Man," the phrase causes us to pause and reflect and think, well, wait a second. If he's the Son of God, how can he also be called the Son of Man? And I think that phrase is misinterpreted at times. You see, Jesus is referred to as the Son of Man 88 times in the New Testament, which means we might want to pay attention to why it's used. Out of 26 books, 88 times, and most of those are used in the four Gospels. But this phrase did not begin in the New Testament. It went all the way back to the Old Testament book of Daniel, chapter 7, verses 13 through 14, where it said, "In my vision at night I looked, and there before me was one like the Son of Man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All peoples, all nations, and men in every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away. And his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. You see, the description Son of Man was a messianic title. Jesus is the one who was given dominion and glory over the entire kingdom, unlike anyone else. And when Jesus used this phrase, Son of Man, he was assigning the prophecy of Daniel to himself. The Jews of that era would have been intimately familiar with this phrase and to whom it referred to. That Jesus was proclaiming himself as the Messiah. That's what we're going to be celebrating just in a few short weeks, is the Messiah coming to earth, fully God, fully man. But Jesus was truly 100% human being. God called the prophet Ezekiel Son of Man 93 times. And God was simply calling Ezekiel a human being. A son of man is a man. But Jesus, as we read in John 1:1, is fully God. But he's also fully man, a human being just like you and I. Wrestled through some of the same struggles that you and I wrestled through. That's why he can identify with us in our struggles. 1 John 4:2 says, "This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God." Yes, Jesus was the Son of God, but he was also the Son of Man. He was able to bring the two worlds together in an invitation for us to be able to serve one another. But ultimately for him to serve us by going to the cross as a propitiation for our sins. And I think that's why the demon responded in such a way that he did. When he acknowledged Jesus, who he was, and the work of Jesus as fully God and fully man. When he said, "Jesus of Nazareth, have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." He acknowledged Jesus of who he was. But yet he couldn't embrace it. Nor would he ever embrace it as a demon. And that's why Jesus responded with, "Be quiet and come out of him." You see, Jesus serves God. He also served the crowds as he demonstrated his power. But what he would do is he would demonstrate his power a little bit. And then he would withdraw. And then he would demonstrate his power. And then he would withdraw. To demonstrate to the crowds that it wasn't simply about the power of the miracles in which he performed. That he had an overall message that he was working toward his entire life. And every gospel points to that. And it was redemption. That Jesus' goal from the beginning was the cross. And he didn't want to get distracted on other things. And so he would perform a miracle and then he would withdraw from the place oftentimes so that not too much attention was called to himself or called to the event. You see, it would have been easy for these people to look at Jesus and say, "Oh, he's just Jesus of Nazareth. Did he have any formal training as a rabbi? How does he have the authority to teach us like he does?" And many, many walked away from his teaching. And the unfortunate part of that is that we have people in our lives every day that walk away from the teaching of Jesus, don't we? And our hearts ought to break. Our hearts ought to be tired and weary a little bit in those that walk away. But then come alongside the plan of God that he's the one orchestrating in that person's life, not us. And to hold on to the promises of God. And seek to serve the Lord, to serve those around us. But then Jesus as we read in verse 28, I think he also came to serve us. You see, immediately the news about him spread everywhere into all the surrounding district of Galilee. So the news began to spread. And this was the beginning of the Messiah. This was the beginning of all these miracles and the culmination of his death right at the beginning. And as Mark saw it, to give us just a snapshot, he didn't give us all the doctrine. He didn't give us the whole story at times. He just gave us the snapshot of what Jesus was doing throughout his life. And immediately the news began to spread about him everywhere into all the surrounding district of Galilee. And as we read at the end of Matthew, we read after his death and his resurrection that the disciples went into all the world. Let me ask you this. Are we living in a way that we embrace Jesus every day serving us in a way that can transform our lives, our marriages, our kids, the way we parent, the way it transformed this crowd, that they went out and they told others and the word began to spread throughout the area. You see, as Jesus serves, and as you read the Gospel of Mark, it's one of the shortest Gospels, and you just flip through these pages, you see over and over and over again, Jesus performing miracles, Jesus sharing parables, Jesus teaching, Jesus sending the 12, and Jesus caring for people, and Jesus serving those with whom he was called to serve. You see, it doesn't end in Mark chapter 1, thankfully. But if you turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 14, Jesus said this, "In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." You see, even today, Jesus is serving us by building a house with many dwelling places. Because if it wasn't so, he wouldn't have said it. And he continues to prepare that place for those who are following him, for those who have placed their faith alone in Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. You see, Jesus served mankind through his life, death, burial, and resurrection here on earth. But he also, as he ascended into heaven, ascended to go and prepare another place for us. And that's what we ought to be longing for. We ought to be serving others in this world because we're longing for heaven. And to be able to gaze one day at Jesus. And to not miss that day in and day out, we ought to be about his kingdom. As he's working to prepare, we ought to work as well. To prepare those lives of those that God brings towards us. You see, God has extended the invitation as he sent the Son of Man to earth. Jesus, the Messiah, to come to earth and to save his people from their sins. And may this Christmas season be a time when we can embrace Jesus and we can embrace his love through serving one another, through demonstrating to our neighbors, or maybe to someone in the work world, or maybe even our families, how Jesus served mankind. Maybe we go above and beyond something we've never done for someone to serve them. And to keep moving forward in our service of people because Jesus served us and came to serve us through the redemption of our sins. You see, Jesus served God, he served the crowd, and he serves us. Here's the point to ponder. Jesus modeled true service to us through the way he lived his life, for he is the Son of Man. Father, I thank you that we can see you every day, even through the changing weather, the cold last night, and the snow. We see you at work through nature. I just ask, Father, that you will penetrate our hearts, whatever area needs cleansing, whatever area needs to be taken out, to be made more into the image of Jesus, that you'll do that so that we may see you more clearly during this holiday season as we celebrate Christmas and the birth of your Son, Jesus, who came into the world to seek and to save that which is lost. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.